Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. He was way ahead of the curve of what's going on today from Alabama's 6th Congressional District. Gary Palmer is on the line. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Well, I guess first off, you put this idea out there that it should be a state taking the lead on questions about the election and equal protection, because then it goes automatically to the Supreme Court. Just your reaction to what the state of Texas is doing, I guess, as of last night.
Well, I think it's about time. No, I'm disappointed that it took this long for someone to act on it.
Well, and do you think it's do you like the merits? You like where it's the direction of it?
Yeah, we're continuing to work on this, and the key here is that I'm trying to get across to people is we've got to be able to look at the evidence, and the evidence would be the election materials, the envelopes, the affidavits, and in states where you don't have ballot harvesting, if you've got thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of envelopes that don't have a postmark or have a manipulated postmark, it does not matter that you can't connect that envelope to the actual vote cast. What matters is that those envelopes represent votes that should not have been cast.
Right.
Same thing with the affidavits, where your typical disqualification rate is anywhere from 1% to 3%, closer to 3%. We know in Atlanta and Detroit and other places, it's a fraction. It's like a fourth of a percent. So we should be able to audit the affidavits to determine, first of all, whether or not they were even signed. And if they are signed, were they signed by people who are still living or people who are actually qualified to vote in that precinct or that state? And does the signature match what's on file? And when you find tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of affidavits that should have been disqualified, it doesn't matter who the individual voted for. What matters is that was an illegitimate vote. And if we go in and we can do those audits and look at those materials, which, by the way, federal law requires that those materials be preserved for 22 months. It's a federal crime to destroy election materials. After we look at that, if it turns out that there was not massive fraud, then I think we move on. But I don't think we can know that until we've had the opportunity to evaluate the evidence.
It does. When you mentioned the federal implications and you know, not adhering to federal guidelines, it just seems to me that the Trump administration, at least his attorney general, doesn't seem to be as willing to really engage in that discussion, that this is, we're past that. That's my takeaway from it, at least.
Well, I'm not sure what the DOJ's role should be, but the argument ought to be made from the states that, just as the state of Texas is making, is that this does harm the states that have conducted their elections constitutionally. And what's happened in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Georgia is, I think, the evidence indicates that decisions were made to change election laws by the governors or by state judges or even, in some cases, local election officials, which is unconstitutional. Only the state legislatures can make law affecting elections. And when these other individuals made these changes, whether it's to allow affidavits without signature verification or to accept envelopes that don't have a postmark, that's unconstitutional.
I mean, this has, if anything, it seems to me that the Supreme Court needs to answer this question for the sake of future elections, if anything. That this if they punt on this, then it opens the door for states to act in this way in the future.
That is the single biggest issue that we're dealing with. And I know people want the courts to declare President Trump the winner, and there are some that want the courts to declare Joe Biden the winner. This is bigger than declaring a winner or loser. This is about whether the American people will ever have confidence in a national election again. And I think this, at a minimum, should force states to clean up their election laws like Florida and Texas and Ohio did and didn't have these problems. We've got a situation in New York right now where it's practically every county decides on their own what to do, and we've got a House race up there where our candidate is leading by 12 votes, and they keep finding votes in drawers. I mean, nobody can have confidence in a system like that. So I think the big argument here needs to be that, first of all, that we're not asking the Supreme Court to pick a winner or loser. We're asking the Supreme Court to protect the integrity of elections. I think every member of Congress has a responsibility because each one of us represent an electoral vote and go through this process. And if these states conducted illegal elections, then let the House of Representatives decide. That is what the Constitution provides for.
Well, when we talk about the legislative branch's role in this, obviously the House of Representatives will have a say in it later on. But when we're talking about what measures could be taken, should Congress consider putting in some guidelines? There's always been a reluctance to from the right, I think, to put in any. Have any sort of involvement from the federal government on state level elections, but where there's a federal office involved, should Congress at least approach the idea of some kind of election guardrails?
Well, what you're going to have is the same thing you had in the current Congress. The very first bill, H.R. 1, was a bill that Pelosi and the Democrats passed to try to federalize elections. I'm not for that. And besides, I'm not sure how far Congress could go without having a constitutional amendment, because it is in the Constitution that the states can manage the elections. What we've got to have, though, is a way to get the states to have a uniform procedures, particularly for the only truly national election that we have, and that is for president.
Well, the hang-up's always been neither side really trust the other side to do anything. There's this stalemate. There's a standoff between the right and the left, or Republicans and Democrats, to really enact any kind of meaningful measures. Do you ever see a point in time when where Democrats and Republicans say, okay, we acknowledge there's a problem here, let's work on fixing it, or is it just going to be kind of, you know, Nancy Pelosi doing her messaging bills or whatever?
I think it's going to be more of Pelosi trying to do her messaging bills. But again, this should go to the states and be resolved in the states like Florida did. You know, after the debacle in 2000, Florida made sure that didn't happen again. And they had a record number of people voting by mail in Florida. But all of those votes had a deadline for that they had to get their ballots in, and all those votes were counted on election day and reported at the end of the when the polls closed. Same thing happened in Ohio and in Texas. And for any state to refuse to make sure that people have confidence in the election process in those states indicates to me that they have an interest in keeping this as chaotic as possible.
But don't you think this hurts Biden? I mean, if he is not the clear winner, and there's always going to be doubt about whether he won the election or not, if he really wants to, and this would be true for Trump, I guess, too, whoever the president would be, they want to be the clear-cut winner because they want to be able to enact whatever policies. They want to say that their election was a mandate. And as long as you have this just a seed of doubt out there, that it hurts the incoming president and whatever they are trying to accomplish during their presidency.
That's exactly right. And that's that's one of the consequences of failing to ensure that we have trustworthy elections. And every president going forward is going to have to deal with this. And I think it's high time that we take care of it, that the states take care of this. I'm still exploring what role Congress can have in this, but I think we have to get out front and really put pressure on these states. That, and it's the same places. It's not like four or five states. It's four or five cities. I started looking at the voter registration in the counties around Philadelphia, actually around Detroit, and they range from 102 or 103% registered to 114% registered. That means that there are more people registered to vote than actually live in the county who are old enough to vote. And that's a violation of federal law. The 1993 National Voter Registration Act requires that the states clean up their voter registration rolls. You still got counties in Georgia, Fulton County and Cobb County and Gannett that all have over 100% registered. We can't keep doing this.
But there just doesn't seem to be an enforcement mechanism. There's a reluctance, for whatever reason, from this Department of Justice, and one would have to think probably the Biden Department of Justice as well, to act on it. Congress could pass all these laws and you know, say this is how it's going to be, but as long as the executive doesn't enforce them, then what good are they?
Well, there are other ways to put pressure, and again, I'm trying to explore some of those options.
So it's just, the power to purse strings or whatever it might be, but you can see where the frustration lies with a lot of people out there when they hear that all of these illegalities are taking place, but no one seems to be able or willing to do anything about them.
Well, that's not true.
That's their perception.
You know, I've been
right?
on your show pushing this idea of getting the AGs to act to force this to the Supreme Court. So we've done everything that we can, and people got to remember we're in the minority. We don't control what gets out of a committee or to the floor of the House.
Well, I'm not targeting Gary Palmer, you specifically. I mean, you know, there is a law enforcement mechanism in this country that is reluctant to get involved, and I don't know, is it pressure from other arenas or other places that is dissuading them to act on it? But when you talk about 113% turnout in a precinct near Detroit, that ought to trigger a red flag, and the Department of Justice ought to be on that, but they just don't seem to be interested.
Well, I cannot pick up the phone and call and get the Department of Justice to investigate anything. That's when we had the majority, we were able to hold hearings, we were able to gather evidence, and we were able to present evidence. But it's ultimately up to the Justice Department to act on it.
Congressman, we're out of time. We got to get a break in here, but I thank you for your time and coming on and talking about this. It's such an important thing to talk about.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jeff.
All right. That was Congressman Gary Palmer. Always a pleasure to have him on.